Follow along, church, with the Talk It Over sheet. We're going to be in Jonah this week and next week. The series, Living in a World with God and Sinners. To jump right into it and to catch us up, we're going to be in chapter 3 today. But Jonah, at the very beginning, he heard a word from the Lord and he had the decision, the choice, trust and obey or go his own way. He went his own way. And then when God was trying to grab his attention and cause him to turn around, he did what many of us do. He tried to avoid what he knew he needed to do. And complete spiritual slumber and despair. He says, with no hope, throw me overboard. Just let me die. But here's the thing. God doesn't allow Jonah to die. God doesn't pull Jonah out of the water and rescue him immediately. God arranges for Jonah to have no other choice but to sit in utter and complete darkness for 3 days and 3 nights and consider his Lord. He cannot die and he's not getting saved without the help of God. And that seems like a big problem, as it does for us many of the times. The things that happen in life seem like big problems. What we learned last week is sometimes all we see is a problem when it's actually God's providence. It was actually God working to save Jonah. Much of the time, before God does something for us, he's trying to do something in us. Right? And it's in those times where he allows difficult times to come that we call trials, that we tend to hate, but we should count it all joy because they grow our faith. They teach us to depend upon God. And really hard times teach us to depend upon God in ways that we didn't even know we could depend upon God. Or that we weren't depending upon God. But we know that God loves us so much that he's willing to take us where we don't want to go in order to get us where we need to be. Right? Like any good teacher or coach will challenge us. God does it so much more and in a perfect way to bring us where we need to be. And while sometimes where we don't see God working and we're just sitting there waiting, we need to know and trust that God is still working. When all hope seems lost, when Jonah was in the whale or Jesus was in the tomb, God was working. He was working out his plan and he's still working. Working to repair, working to restore, working to heal. Right? We have to trust him in that. And we are a people that live in a sinful world and we get hurt. We hurt ourselves, we hurt each other, hurt people. But God comes in our hurt, in our sinfulness, and forgives us. And he teaches us not only to accept forgiveness, but to forgive other people. Because forgiven people forgive people. And he doesn't just want us to be forgiven, he wants to heal us. He's a God who not only redeems, but restores. He's a God of restoration. He heals us, and healed people help other people heal and find healing in a Savior, Jesus Christ. But this morning, what if you just rejected God's call? What if you're just stuck in your hurt, stuck in your sin? What if you're messed up and you haven't healed and you are unwilling to forgive and just don't want to forgive? What if you are... you just feel beyond repair. And you're like, I've just messed up too many times. I have great news for you. Our God is a God of second chances. The God of second chances. That's what I titled this message. And I'm going to jump right into it. Our God is a God of second chances. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. And I just love that. A second time. God gave Jonah another chance. And if you're reading this story like I read it, I think God gave Jonah many more than two chances. And I think God gives us many more than two chances. He's given me so many chances, I've lost fingers and toes to count them on, right? That's what God does. It's who He is. He gives us another chance. Sometimes He'll give us a chance when we've given up on ourselves. Just like Jonah. He didn't even want another chance. He's just like, kill me, let me die. God's like, nope, not yet. Why? Because God wasn't done with him. And I want you to hear this morning. God's not done with you yet. How do I know that? Because you're here and you're breathing. When you stop breathing, that will be, you won't have another chance. But God wants you to hear his word today. God, you're here. You have another chance. You have another day where you're breathing. How will you respond? God is not done with you. God could do all of this without you, just like he could have spoken to the Ninevites without Jonah, but he wanted to use Jonah. He had a calling for Jonah. He has a calling for your life. He has a purpose for you. If you are a believer here this morning, he has given you a gift for the body, for us, for the church. And we are incomplete if you're not using your gift. God wants you to work and serve him. We need you to. God's not done with you. He has a purpose for you. Do you believe that? God wants to use you, just like he wanted to use Jonah. Here's the second chance. Here's Jonah's opportunity. All right, we're going to jump right into this, verses 2 and 3. The Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, and here's what he said in verse 2. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. I'll pause there. Get up and go. In the Hebrew, this word is a little more emphatic, and it communicates this urgency with it, which I think it does in the English a little bit, but we don't always read it that way. It's really saying like, go now, go immediately, go today. You need to go. Now, this isn't true all the time. Sometimes God wants you to sit and wait when you don't want to wait. And we need to wait on the Lord and wait to hear from the Lord, just like Jonah was waiting for God's salvation to come to him in the fish. But now, he's told, get up and go now. Sometimes the most godly thing you can do is take action. The action that God has called you to do. And don't wait, but actually do it then. Do it right then when God says, and you understand the Holy Spirit. You're reading his word. You're in line with the Spirit. And he says to act, you need to act now. And God moves in those times. And you all have probably seen it. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen God work through kids, younger kids who are believers, through teenagers or young adults, or even whatever, it doesn't matter the age, when it's just somebody who's a quote-unquote lay person that responds to God's calling and does what God prompts, and then all of a sudden God moves. And what they say, or they lay their hand on somebody, and there's more power in that than many, many words, profound words, right? Because God is behind it, and the power is in God and when he says to do it. And we'll come back to that. You'll see it in this story. Sometimes the most godly thing you can do is actually take action. Don't allow yourself time to talk yourself out of it. Y'all don't do this, do you? What are some of the excuses that when, and I'll use evangelism as an example. If God is telling you, hey, you need to witness or share Jesus with this person, what are some of the excuses? They usually all revolve around I'm not in the best place right now to do that. I don't have the words right now to say that they need to hear. I'm not ready right now. Listen, you aren't going to change anybody anyway. It's God, right? So if God's ready, then you'll be ready. And he'll give you the words to say during that time. you will come up with excuses, and Satan will actually help you come up with excuses when you pause. More than that, Satan will also bring distractions, so you will not do what God wants you to do. Because here's what I found out. Most of the time, if God tells you, hey, you need to share Jesus with this person, and you don't do it then, you don't go back later and do it. Right? You just don't. Does it happen? Yes. But if God tells you to pray for somebody, you just need to pray for them. And if you don't do it right then, if you don't just say, hey, let's pray, it's very, very rare that you go back later and actually pray with that person. It happens. You can go back and say, hey, God told me to pray with you. I didn't. I want to pray with you now. Or God told me to share Jesus with you, and I disobeyed, and now I'm here to do that. That does happen, but it's very rare. Most of the time, you've missed the opportunity, you missed the moment, because you did not listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting to do it then. Sometimes we just need to get up and go. Get up and go right away. What did Jonah do this time? Look at verse 3. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large it took him 3 days to see it all. He got up right away and he went this time. Now I know I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you're reading from a different one, it probably doesn't say this time. But we know that this is the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. That's clear in verse 1. And this time, Jonah responded differently. This time, he decided to obey the Lord's command. Here's what I want you to know. This time can be different. I'm going to ask you to make this time different. Make this time different. Today can be different. And I understand you've said this too many times. It's hard for you to believe it. I've been stuck in this situation so long. Like you tell yourself this, right? That I don't believe that I can really change. I've been stuck in this sin so long and this pattern that it's hard for me to believe that I can change. My relationship has been like this for way too long. Can it really change? Can my marriage really change? Can my kids really change? We're just stuck in this endless cycle and we fall back into the same pattern. This time can be different. It can be different. But if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. You have to do it differently. And we're going to learn how to do that a little bit later from the most unlikely source, the king of Nineveh. Okay? But right now, I want you to consider Nineveh. Jonah is to go to this big city. We are told at the end of chapter 4 that there's 120,000 people that live in Nineveh. From the research that I can tell, that's within the inner city walls. If you look at what we would call the bigger metropolitan area outside of that, there would have been a lot more. Okay, just a lot of people. It was a big city. It was a mighty city. Not mighty in the sense that God is mighty. God is far more mighty. Not mighty in the way that God is, which He's mighty, but He's for you. He's for us. He's good. Mighty in the sense that this was a mighty city that oppressed the Israelites, that oppressed Jonah and his people. This is a people group that he would have had a hard time dealing with, that came in and tortured their leaders in front of all the people. Said, you will follow us, you will obey us, you will bow to us. We are more mighty than you are. You will listen to us. It's hard to take. And here's Jonah being called to go into this city with all its power, with all its might, knowing it's more powerful than his whole nation, let alone he's going in alone. And what does he do? There's a part of this where we should look and be like, I'm actually impressed, Jonah. We give Jonah a hard time, and we should, because he messed up a lot, okay? But here, there's something that he did that's very bold and courageous. Look at verse 4. On the day Jonah entered the city, first day he enters the city, here's what he does. He shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Just bold and courageous. He goes in. He doesn't beat around the bush. 40 days from now, and you're going to be destroyed. So on the one hand, bold and courageous. On the other hand, this is an awful short message. I don't know if he gave the whole message that God wanted him to give. It doesn't say a whole lot about, hey, there's a God in heaven that's above everything that is your Lord, and you've been disobeying him, and you need to repent, and you will be destroyed in 40. No, he just goes, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. In the Hebrew, it's five words. So five-word sermon is really what he gives. But here's what I want you to know, that sometimes we put all the weight and the dependence upon us and what we say and how we say it. The power is in the Word of God. This was God's message. A simple message from God carries more power than the most profound message from the intellect of a man. A simple message from God carries more power than the most profound message from the intellect of man. What we need more than anything is a word from our Lord, a word from God. We need to hear from Him today. I'm praying that you will hear from God today. Sometimes when we hear a word from the Lord, it doesn't feel good. Often, but it is for our good. Just like the Ninevites, when they hear this message from God, they're not too happy about it, but it's there to produce goodness in them. How do they respond? It's unbelievable, right? Jonah's the most successful evangelist in the history of the world. I don't really know if that's true, but listen, like, sailors are coming to Christ while he's rebelling and running away from God. He gives a five-word sermon. Some of you I wish you would give a five words. So he gives a five-word sermon, and then, you know, this whole city just repents and believes God. Listen, look at verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Wow. From the greatest to the least, they all believe, they all start repenting and grieving for what they have done. What does it mean by from the greatest all the way up? Look at verse 6. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, this is amazing, he stepped down from his throne, and he took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. The king of this powerful, mighty city that seemed indestructible, part of the Assyrian Empire. I don't believe this was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, but it would later become the capital and even be expanded more. And during this time, God is getting the gospel into one of the most powerful cities in the Middle Eastern ancient world that's part of the Assyrian Empire, and it's about to be the capital of the whole Assyrian Empire, which is the most powerful empire in the Middle Eastern world during that time. This is how God works. And he humbles this king. This king humbles himself, right? He steps off and down from his throne and takes off his royal robes and repents. He doesn't even know who God is. We'll see that. But he humbles himself. And here's what we know about God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You don't have to know a whole lot about God, and you may not, but if you humble yourself, God will show you grace. He's eager to show you grace. He's willing and wanting to show you grace, and we're going to see that more. But first, let's hear from this king who doesn't even know God. Look at what he does. This is amazing. He doesn't just step down from his throne and take off his royal robes. He goes further. Starting in verse 7, then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals, from your herds and flocks may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. I want to look at this because I think the king actually helps us out here, even though he doesn't even know who God is. He's not even sure how God will respond. Right? He ends this with, who can tell? I have no idea. I don't know this God at all. But maybe, just maybe, he'll relent. he'll take away his fierce anger. I think the king actually helps us out by demonstrating some key ways to real change, actual change, and tells us about repentance. So, how do you make this time different? How do you make this time different? How do you actually change, allow God to change you? First and foremost, you actually have to hear the truth of God's word. Not just hear God's word, but hear the truth of God's word. And when you hear the truth of God's word, guess what you find out? Not everything about yourself. See, that's the problem. Remember, this book of Jonah is not about Jonah. Who's the main character? It's God. It's to teach us about God. He's the main character of every book in the Bible. Right? That we are to know who God is. And when you hear the truth of God's word, you see and you discover and you start to discover who God is. And even though this king didn't know God hardly at all, he heard this word, and here's what I believe he started to grasp, because this is why he stepped down off his throne. He started to grasp who God is, that he is the king above all kings. And he started to grasp that he was not the king above all kings. Right? And when we hear and grasp the truth of God's word, we start to understand who God is. All that he is and all that we are not. All that he is and all that we are not. And you start to understand there's a problem here. I'm a sinner. And God is holy, holy, holy. Right? The attribute of God that's listed and repeated the most, the only one that's repeated three times, he wants to get that through. Holy, holy, holy is our God. And we are sinners. And therefore, we are in need of saving. Right? He heard the truth of God's word. And because he heard that, he responded and he called out. What is he calling it? He's calling out for help. He's calling out for a Savior. He's praying earnestly to God. Right? We are to pray earnestly to God. Call out to God. Shout to God. God, we need you. You're the only one who can save us. You're the only one that has the right to bring down judgment upon us. Judgment we've deserved because of what we have chosen. And he realizes something else. We need to turn from our evil ways. God is holy, I am not. I should turn from my evil ways. Now, he didn't know really who God was. We need to turn from our evil ways and we need to turn toward God. I'm not even sure he knew at this point where to turn. We do. We have God's word. Jonah actually knew. Right? When Jonah's in the belly of the big fish and he has this coming to God moment and he prays out to God, he starts repeating God's word and praying God's word that he already had, right? He had it there. He actually calls out to God and says, I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to stop doing what I was doing. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to obey you and do what you asked me to do. I'm going to wait on you, for salvation comes from you. That's what Jonah did. When we turn from our evil ways, we need to turn toward God. That's what repentance is. It is a turning away from sin and to God. You can't just turn away from one sin. Because here's what I've noticed in my many years of working with teens. They turn from one sin right to another sin. Then they turn from that sin to another sin. Right? Well, that doesn't work. That's not what we're called to do. It's just as much turning away from as it is turning toward something else. We are to turn away from sin and turn toward God. Right? But in this case, the king didn't really know God and didn't know where to turn, but he's trying. And he says, we need to turn away from sin. My question for you is, where is God leading you to turn? What sin is he trying to save you from? What opportunity is he calling you to? Where is he trying to get you to turn? Where is he trying to get you to make that change? And here's the biggest thing. Here's the biggest, like, change agent, which is God himself. What helps us really change, what helps us get there, is when we actually trust God and who he is. Right? And this king has it all over many of us. He has it over the whole nation of Israel, and he has it over Jonah. Because what does he say? I don't know who God is. Who can tell what he'll do? But either way, maybe he'll relent. Maybe he'll take away his fierce anger. So just in case, I'm putting all my hope in God. This king who doesn't even know who God is puts all his hope in God just in case. Who can tell? I'm going to tell you right now, we can tell. You and I can tell. Jonah knew. Jonah can tell. He's going to repeat it in a few verses at the beginning of chapter 4, quoting Moses. When God told Moses who he was, quoting the words that King David wrote, that God is willing and eager to relent from his anger, quoting the prophet Joel that we've looked at, which I want to look at one more time. Who can tell? We can tell. Let's look at God's word. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. These verses that we've read before, I want to read them again. What do we know about God? In this case, this was God's invitation for the nation of Israel. They rejected it. The Ninevites had it all over them. What message does the Lord give Joel to say? Starting verse 12. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is still time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is what? He is eager to relent and not punish. Who can tell? We can tell. This is what God wants to do. This is who he is. Right? What does he do when the Ninevites do exactly what the prophet Joel told Israel? We'll go back to Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what God did. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Now, it's not literally that God changed his mind. He knew what they would do. We don't have time to get into all that, but he is willing and eager to relent, to not pour out his wrath. God does hear what God always does. God saves. Jesus saves. He wants to save us. And he's asking us, will you hear the truth of God's word? Will you pray earnestly to God? Will you turn from your evil ways and turn to God? And will you trust God and who he is? See, real change happens by the power of God. It's by God's word. It's by God's help when we call out to him in prayer. It's by turning to God. And it's by trusting in God. That's when real change happens, when we become dependent upon him and his power to work in us and through us. Not your willpower, his power. His power. And what is God doing? He is watching and waiting and willing. Right? He's watching. How do I know this? Because God saw exactly what the Ninevites did in verse 10. He was watching them. He's watching. Why is he watching? Because he's going to see what we're going to do. And he's waiting. He could have went ahead and destroyed the Ninevites. They deserved it. He was waiting until they heard the message to give them a chance to repent and turn to him. And guess what? He's willing. He's always willing to relent from his anger. He's always willing to save. He desires all people to be saved. Listen, there is a hell. There's a real hell. And it's because of our sin, and we choose that. But God is not eager to throw us into hell. Nowhere does it say that in Scripture. It's like, I'm just waiting to throw that person into hell. No, he doesn't. He desires all people to be saved and come to a saving knowledge of him. That is his desire. He is watching and waiting and willing. Why is he doing that? Not to hurt you, but to help you. Not to harm you, but to heal you. Not to hit you, but to have arms wide open and hug you. Not to bring his hatred down upon you, but to bring hope. Not to throw you into hell, but to take you to heaven. That is who our God is. He is a God of second chances. And every chance from God demands a choice from you. God is a God of second chances. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. If you're here, you have a chance. You have an opportunity. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, to find salvation in him. You have an opportunity, you have a chance to repent and turn from your sin and turn to God, and he will be there and willing and eager to relent from his anger, from his wrath that you deserve, and he will pour out his wrath, which he already has, upon Jesus Christ. And he will say, "Welcome home, my child." That's who God is. The choice is yours. Will you come and will you receive salvation in the name of Jesus Christ? For those of us who are believers, we have a choice. What is God telling you to do that you've been neglecting to do? Or maybe you've run away from, like Jonah. Where is he telling you to change and you have not changed? Where is he saying trust and obey and you've decided to go your own way? God is a God of second chances. He's given us another chance, and that demands a choice. What will you decide? Will you make the choice to turn and come to him? Will you hear the truth of his words? Will you pray out to him? Will you turn from your ways and turn to God? And will you trust him in that? Because I'm going to tell you, same thing that we sang, only he can. Only God can save your soul. Only God can save your marriage. Only God can save your kids. Only God can make things better. Only God can heal that hurt. Only God can allow you to forgive somebody that you think is unforgivable. Only God can. And you have to start relying on Him and saying, God, do the work in me that I know that You can. It's time for me to quit trying to do it myself and running away from You. I'm here. And because God's given you another chance, He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. How will you respond? Will you let go of what God has told you to let go of that you've been holding on to? Will you give what God has told you to give that you've been keeping for yourself? Will you forgive who God has told you to forgive that you've been holding bitterness inside? Will you forgive yourself and see that there is hope? I don't care where you've been or how deep and dark it's been. It wasn't as bad as Jonah, all right? There's hope. Because God is a God of second chances. Trust Him. Let me pray and we'll respond. If you need prayer, come get prayer. If you need to sing to God, we're going to sing about His amazing grace. Because when our sin abounds, His grace abounds all the more. He's there. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word and for this book that's ironic that, Lord, even this king was like, you know what? Everybody's repenting. Everything that's living and breathing, even the animals are going to repent just in case. Lord, help us have that type of response. Not that we're making our animals fast and repent, but Lord, that we are saying whatever it takes. Help me give up what I thought was best and right. Help me turn to You. Find a new way. That this time can be different. This time can. Not because we can make it different or that we have the ability in ourselves, but because You can. You are able. And only You can. God, help us to trust You. And know that You are giving us one more chance because it's who You are. Because You are a God of second chances. Let us make a choice today that glorifies You and brings honor to Your name. Not harm. That brings honor to Your name. Let us do what You've called us to do. Commit to doing what You've called us to do. Change our hearts, Lord. You are after our hearts. Let us not just tear our clothes on the outside and make a show of repentance. Cut us to the heart and let us tear our own hearts open and let You in. That You would break down those strongholds and break down those walls that have been there for far too long and bring healing, bring forgiveness, bring restoration. It's who You are, God. Father, help us to trust You, knowing Your character and that You will love us and care for us. Father, help us to come to You and sing to You in this moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.